Well, things is happening. Don't need no news to tell us. No news medias, or don't need any broadcast to tell us. We can look around and see that there's plenty of excitement and things are happening. And they're happening the way that we told you that it would happen. We said a year or so back, everything will just go into a state of chaos. Even the elements, all of the universe, everything, the calamities and problems will set in, and the judgments will now strike. It's on tape. And it will be one thing right after another, and it won't stop. And you get worse, and wicked men would get worse and worse. And if you go back and check the time of that tape, you'll find out that everything was in pretty good shape about then, but it really has been a nightmare since then. And it's not going to stop. Somebody says, well, I know it's going to stop. Well, you're getting your information from the wrong source if you think it is, because like I was telling my wife and somebody today, if I told you it's going to get 10 times worse, then I would be underestimating what's really going to happen. 10 times worse can't touch it. But for the sake of conversation, we can look for it at least 10 times worse. It's going to get worse, and things are happening all around. Things are happening all around. And we're probably just going to, I guess, make reference to something here tonight. Just a real simple thing that we might talk to you about. I'd like to really talk to you tonight about the condition, the present day truth, and talk to you about what's happening and why it's happening. This is an old familiar theme here. Let's just make reference to it. Mark 11:22, have faith in God. You're real familiar with this anyway. And let me just say a few little things to you tonight. We really haven't got into the camp meeting yet. Now, they had planned to go into the tent, and I felt like they would be here in the church. Now, this is where we was to be in this camp meeting as it went on. And, of course, I told them at the first, I said, there's no need to be in a hurry to set the tent, even though the tent was supposed to go up, and what I understood. I said, but don't be pressed about it. And so far, it has come to the church. And even tonight, everything was set for the tent. The day's been lovely. The grounds were dry enough. And right at the time we were to go under the tent, then a terrible wind began to hit Monroe. And the trees, the big trees, was being bent over up there. And it was a terrible rain. And I sent the people word that they could come right on into the church. And I told the others, I said, I will preach to them under the tent if they want to stay under the tent. We'll go to the tent and I'll preach under the tent. But if they want to come into the church, just come on into the church and we'll preach to them in the church and do what we can and to them in the church. And of course, we'll come into the church. This is where I felt like we should be. And here we are. So then God has his way. He always does what he wants to. He does what he wants to when he gets ready. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. And he's just kind enough to share it with them that are concerned. And I am, as Daniel was in the time of his administration, he was concerned about those that belong to him, as to the Jews. And I'm concerned about God's people. So then he hath made me to know and made me to understand, for which I'm very grateful. And I know if some of you don't believe that, and even when I say it's repulsive to you, but it's so anyhow. So he hath cared enough to make me to know and make me to understand, and I've spoke of these things. Now, so we just mention something here, a few little things. First of all, most of you get the news medias anyway. I tell you to stay away from some of the things, but you watch the things on TV that's non-virtuous and all kind of things anyway. And like a woman that's supposed to be a devout Christian was telling me the other day, said, well, I don't watch nothing real bad. I did watch Fried Green Tomatoes and whatever that is. And I said a little something that didn't set too well with me about the Fried Green Tomatoes. So she said, I do watch the news. And I said, well, everything that they can think of is on the news. So that means you just watch anything. That's what I was thinking. And I told her that. I said, just everything on that. And I know that some of you do it with regularity. You listen to the radio the same way. You do what you want to. You go where you want to. You act like you want to. You talk about what you want to. You still gossip. You still backbite. You still do the things that you ought not to do, and you're still going to be lost. But nevertheless, there are a few. Like I saw in the vision, I remind you one more time, when I say these things, I'm not just saying them to say them. Somebody said, well, you repeat yourself, Brother Pike. You say these things, let's go on to something else. No, let's remind you of what we said, because you didn't get what I said. I said when I saw the translation take place, I could count them on my hand, as in that after the Nevada meeting. And that had a great meaning when I said that the other night. And the things I said the other night had such a great, profound meaning. And I looked to see if anybody understood what I was saying. And I never did see one. And through the whole meeting, through all my conversation, up until today, I've not seen anyone. Not anyone. All of our conversation. I hadn't seen anybody get into the revival yet, into the meeting, to even know what's going on, even with the last episode and these kind of things. That doesn't mean you're ignorant, and that doesn't mean that you don't know many, many things. It don't mean that you're not getting a lot of things. It don't mean that you're not growing. You're growing. There's some growth in you. It don't mean you don't love the Lord. It don't mean that you're not Christians. But it does mean what I'm telling you. So I say these things by way of remembrance because I'm trying to say something to you that the Lord said to me. And He wants us to know. You have a right to know. It's freely given to you. He wants you to know. But you know what keeps you from knowing these things? Is the fact that you feel that you already know them. Let's give the Lord up. That's where your problem is. And some of my leaders here are so sure that they know. But I remind you one more time, as I said to some of them today in conversation, my leaders as would be here, as some of them that's supposed to be, my ministry actually does not know as much as some of my laity. As far as I know, that's the truth, so help me God. You don't believe that, you need to excuse yourself, get up and go out, because you don't need to be listening to me preach. If I'm going to lie to you, if that's a lie, then you don't need to listen at me. And if you believe it's the truth, then you need to buckle down and get right. So then when we come here tonight, I'm not coming to de-Christianize you. I'm not coming to tell you what you don't know. I am coming to try to encourage you in what you do know and share what little I can in what He shares with me. And in doing that, I have to remind you that there is a lot of things that you don't know. Now, like I have people say, well, I have the revelation. They come to me and that's fine. I don't have any objections to that. That's fine. You are a sovereignty and that's fine. And I'm glad. And if you've got the revelation, I'm glad. I'm glad from my heart that you've got the revelation. And I don't think that I'm the only pebble on the beach. I know where your minds go to from time to time. And I don't think I'm the only one that God's talking to. I'm less than any of them. Less than any of them that's in the world today, especially at Bethlehem. But nevertheless, they come to me and they tell me this and talk about the revelation and how that God is just going to endow them with this great revelation. And I look at them like little children. I cannot say that God will not give them the revelation. I cannot say that they're not telling me the truth. But I can say that when I talk to them a lot of time and examine their spirit, that they have some idea, like the boys did that met me at the plane station. You remember when I was sitting there on my suitcase waiting to catch a plane, and here come what's called the giants. David and the Giants, the singers, you know. Recognized Betty and I from me and my wife as we sat there. Coming by hurriedly, they recognized us. And this little guy that played on television, with Lucy or whoever it was with them. And here they come by and they said, Brother Pike, aren't you Brother Pike? I said, yeah, I'm Brother Pike. They said, well, we recognize you, Brother Pike. And said this revelation, and they were just up in the air over this revelation. And I think they were headed for New York for a show date. I believe it was New York. Wherever it was, they had to go and they had to hurry and catch the plane. Just had a few minutes to catch the plane. And they said, this revelation, we've got to have it, Brother Pike. I said, well, that's wonderful. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to see you enthused about it. They said, give it to us. You'll have to hurry and give it to us because we've got to catch the plane. Come on, folks. That's what's wrong with you. That's what's wrong with you. Somebody said, I think that's comical, but that's what's wrong with you. Brother Pike, if you can give it to us in 45 minutes, you better give it to us. Oh, somebody said, but I've come a lot of times, 45 minutes. I know you have. Well, nevertheless, that's where you're at. And this is the way I look at you. When you look at me and you tell me God is fixing to give you the revelation, Paul took all of his life from his childhood to try to understand the Old Testament and to put it together in his intellectual study and to program his mind and to exercise his senses. It took him all his life to be able to do that. And then after that, before he could ever really preach and get things underway, he had to go stay in the Arabian desert, just close himself off. After all of that, for after all of his studies, God let a light come up, which was the revelational light of Jesus Christ. And Paul saw that he was blind and had to go to the desert before he was ever even prepared to really go out and do what he needed to do for God. Moses had to spend 40 years in preparation down in Egypt just to follow through the things of God, being born to proper child, follow through with the things of God 40 long years before he could even get started in the training to understand another 40 years of training when he left Egypt to know what to do in the wilderness. 40 long years there in Egypt, 40 long years more in the wilderness, and then 40 years more to be able to lead the people, and then couldn't get into Canaan. So when you talk about God going to give you this because you're the man of the hour, and you said it's a quick, short, quick work, Brother Pike, I just look at you, I look at you in pity. Oh, somebody said, but you just don't know me and how much God thinks of me and who I am and what I'm preordained to do. Well, I guess I don't. I really guess I don't. But nevertheless, the Bible said great is the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness, the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of the kingdom, and many mysteries of God. Great is this mystery. Great is this mystery. And brethren, let me tell you, if you scratch the surface in your lifetime by giving your entire life a living sacrifice to God, then you should be real glad. Real glad. So I just pity you when you talk to me like that. I pity you. It isn't like I feel that you don't get revelation. It isn't that I feel that you're not coming into things. It isn't that I feel that you're not growing. It's just that I feel that you're overconfident in yourself, thinking too highly of yourself and not thinking soberly according to the measure that God has dealt unto you, and you're trying to stretch yourself beyond the measure that you have. You're going beyond your measure that you have, and you haven't attained to the measure that you're witnessing of. And brethren, let me tell you something. It's a different world, altogether a different world. I have barely scratched the surface. And if I barely scratch the surface night and day without letting up, then it's for sure that you're going to have to do a little more scratching and digging. A little more. So, Paul, in all of the great mighty things that he did, said, it's not me living but Christ. And he said, and there was given unto me a messenger of Satan to buffet me as a thorn in the flesh, to keep me from being exalted beyond measure because of my much revelation. And said, as I write, this is to let you understand my knowledge in the Lord. And yet he said, I doubtless shall come to visions and revelation. So in this, it just proves that you're still children and you just don't understand. And I've tried to explain to you to the best I can, and all I get is resentment. And like I had the vision, where wherever I'm at, whether it's down with the call of the Father's house or here, or wherever I saw the word of the Lord, I saw it in the vision, and I saw it come straight, right straight down the line. There was no wavering. It was right straight down the line. But every time it got near as what I suppose was the audience, it would go this way and that way, and there was something emanating from them, which I know has to be a carnal mind and intellectual confidence of conceit or self-esteem, that invisible thing whereas God the Word cannot look on iniquity or fellowship, and the Word will go this way and this way, and it was headed right straight down the line. So see, there's got to be something wrong. Now, I could tell you of one vision right after another. As a matter of fact, while we was down in the building today there at the Father's house, we was talking, and I talked to several people and brought out a few little things today by putting it together to give some vague idea of what is taking place right now. And I'm sure that it really stirred those people. But here's the thing. You know, it doesn't matter what I say tonight, yesternight, or tomorrow night. It doesn't matter what I say. There's something about it that if I catch your attention, if I get you settled down, if I get you to the place to where God can speak to you for a few minutes, and then you listen, especially some of you that would be leaders, you settle down and then you get something, then you catalog it like you go to put it in your notebook, in your back pocket, and think, well, bless God, I didn't have it, I got it now. And the next time you come, you're just as hard as a rock, just as cold as you can be, just as much cut off as you ever was, or even more in your conceit, and God can't get to you, and you haven't got anything. And what you did pick up, you lost, because it got lost in the intellectual darkness of your human conceit. So all I'm trying to do is be a brother to you. I'm trying to help you. I'm just a helper of your faith. But it is a true fact that if you ever get anything from God, you're going to have to do different from what you're doing. You're going to have to do different. Now, like I told Betty tonight as I come in, I said, there's no need of me trying to say anything, Betty, other than just bring a simple little message. For a lot of times, see, when you're looking at me up here, you think, now here's the preacher. Now, this is Brother Pike. He's our pastor. We respect him. And when Brother Pike gets started, we're going to pray for him, and we're going to hope that he won't stumble and stagger, and that he'll be able to think of something to say. And that we know that he's always searching and trying to say something, and sometimes he can't think of it, and we want him to hurry and keep it together so he can talk to us, and that way maybe he'll think of something. Folks, that isn't right. I don't know where you get that kind of thinking, but that isn't right. If I was going to school and my teacher was behind the desk and she was going to teach me, and I was sitting there looking at her and I felt that way, I wouldn't go to school. If I thought she was trying to think of something to say so that she could present herself and keep her audience or keep my attention, you know, and be sure that she could get something together, we say it's to the preacher's sermonette, I wouldn't go there. I would be convinced if I went to school that she had went somewhere, that she understood what she was saying, and that she had that thing already in her head. Somewhere she'd learn all about this book or whatever she was talking about. And when she come to talk to me, that she knew where she'd been and she knew where she was going and she knew where she was at. And that if I'd listened to her, that she'd program my mind accordingly. And I wouldn't be sitting there looking at her in another way. Don't you see how unreasonable that is? How that hinders the mind of God with your carnality? And then on the other hand, if we come in, and some of us, part of us is in the condition that we're going to be this kind of people, that we want to hurry and get this thing, and God help us that the preacher won't take too long. We'll never make it to the cafe. I hope he'll let us out. He's been doing pretty good. I hope he'll keep this up. And if he says to me, and when he starts talking, oh my God, now he's done going to saying all them kind things there, and now we've got to listen to all that before the sermon. But see, this is the sermon, folks. This is the sermon you need. That's what I'm doing, is preaching to you right now. This is the sermon you need. See, not some kind of exuberance or putting on a show or whatever. This is the sermon you need, which is just exhorting you the more as I see the day approaching. And this is the sermon. Jesus just sat down in the boat, and strangely enough, he didn't demonstrate, he didn't run, he didn't do nothing. He just sat down on the hillside or wherever, and that was the sermon as he spoke to them. See, and this is where you are missing it. This is where you get off track. This is the thing that causes you to miss the whole thing. It's like I was getting a report today from somebody that I didn't ask for the report. They voluntarily gave it to me. And they have in the last year or so set under the different ministers that I've sent to different places. Or that I sent to a place. And they sat under it. And they said again and again they left, said Brother Pike, because that very minister that you sent, one after another, every last one of them, they named them off and said they got up and they said things contrary to you and were supposed to be sent obvious, we say, and supposed to be doing the thing that you told them to do, and they went contrary to you and contested what you were saying. And he said, I just left. So, see, now, isn't that the way it's supposed to go? For when I bring Zion again, they'll be as contrary as they can to one another. They'll do their own thing. They'll have their program. They'll have theirs on this side of the hill, and you'll have yours on this side of the hill. And so it shall be. Or does the Bible say, when I bring Zion again, they will see eye to eye, they will speak the same thing, they will walk hand in hand, and they will not break ranks, and they will not pierce each other through, and that they will be one spirit and one body and one mind in one accord, just one brotherhood in one church, one faith, one God, and one baptism. Is that right? If that's right, brethren, why is it that in Bethlehem it is so divided? And why is it that in the world today, everywhere, that it is a continual dividing when the Bible said, I hate them that cause division. I hate them, he said. And why is it we still have people that are springing up here like on a springboard to use little Bethlehem as a springboard to do their thing, not giving anything of their physical effort to help, anything of their spiritual time to help, any time of their financial efforts to help, or anything of their substance to honor God with it, and just wanting to get what they call the message, to get out from here and be preeminent in the eyes of somebody so they can see how far they can go and how many places they can get to and how many followers that they can get. How can you be so ignorant as to do a thing like that? Somebody would say, well, I don't think that's ignorance. That's what makes you ignorant, is because you think that, because that is ignorance. See, we are supposed to be the bodily members of one body, even the Lord Jesus Christ, whether we're on this side of the ocean or the other side of the ocean, and we're not fund collectors, and we don't ride circuits as missionaries and preachers and evangelists trying to build some kind of empire to get on television or in the papers or to be some special person to get following, to have an income to where we can retire and settle down. We're supposed to be God's mouthpiece in the earth, going to and fro throughout the world, telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation and giving all that we have, expecting nothing in return. Thank God for somebody that'll say amen. So this is what I'm speaking about. Now look at the situation around you, since we're just exhorting you tonight. Look at the situation. Why is this terrible turbulence just going around and around and around and around? And I believe I heard you all back. The winds above us up in the heavens are supposed to be moving at something like 20 miles an hour. And they say it's moving at 70 miles an hour. And here, around and around it goes. Around and around. Why is it? Why is it doing that? And why is it that they're saying now that it's going to make a turn, go back down to Florida, back to the tropicals, whatever, pick up more speed and pick up more energy and come right back? Why is that? See, don't God have his way in the whirlwind? The Bible said he does. See, why is that? Why is the devastation hitting? Why are the turbulence coming? Why are we having this problem? You know, we really get misconstrued in our minds. We misunderstand because we don't apply ourselves. We misunderstand. And people get all kind of ideas. And they talk about certain things, you know, as being favorable. And it's God's work and God's doing this. And this is the way it's supposed to be because this is what God wants. I'll tell you something, folks. It is true fact that God is having his way. He has his way in the whirlwind. It is what God is doing. When you see the storms tear up a place, it is what God is doing. And when you see somebody die, it is what God is doing. And when you see somebody sick, it is what God is doing. But it is not what God wants. When you see the wicked perish, it is what God is doing. But it is not what God is wanting. And somebody says, and it is the will of God. I beg your pardon, it is not the will of God. It never has been the will of God. It never will be the will of God. And I hear people say, well, this man got sick over here. It's just a blessing in disguise. There is no blessing in disguise from God when it comes to sickness. Sickness is of the devil. Afflictions is of the devil. Whatever happens to you that's contrary to health and happiness and blessings and prosperity is of the devil. Poverty is of the devil. Sickness is of the devil. Depression is of the devil. Oppression is of the devil. Possession of demon spirits is of the devil. All of these things are of the devil. And it's not God's will. It's not God's desire. He had no plan for them. He did not instigate them. You're the one that instigated them. You're responsible for poverty. You're responsible for death. And you're responsible for afflictions. And you're responsible for all the mutilations of life and all of the heartaches, all of the sorrows. You did it. You did it. Not God. Death came by man. Not God. So it is you that did it. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, then that really fits what I believe. I am healthy and well, and I believe that's the way it's supposed to be, and that's why I stay healthy and well. No, you're healthy and well because you just haven't run down to the place where the bridge is at yet. You've got a bridge out ahead of you, and you're going to go through something like you never dreamed of in your life, and God's going to stop you from playing your little childlike game. He's just trying to work with you while you're a baby. When you get out of your diapers and you grow up a little bit, you're going to go over the whipping post, and you're going to go down to where the bridge is out, and you're going to learn to swim, and you're going to learn to tread in deep water. It's coming. Somebody said, oh no, oh yes, it will come. Just exactly like I said, it'll come to your house. See, so it ain't like that. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, this is the great way it is, the mighty, wonderful deliverance of God. And I'm the man of the hour, and I can pray for the sick, and I know what to do, and this is the way it is. Oh no, that's not the way it is at all. As a matter of fact, it's just exactly to the contrary. The great man of God and the man of the hour went into the lion's den and mastered it. And the great men of God, like the Hebrew children, went into the fiery furnace and mastered it. Somebody said, well, there you are. No, that's not the answer at all. I'm telling you, you haven't got to the fire in the lion's den yet. It's like a great man that comes. Some great tyrant of the age came to a leader in the days of Hezekiah. And he stood out and he boasted and said, thus and thus and thus I will do. And he came to somebody and he said, and I will do thus and thus. And the other man just looked at him real soberly and said, don't boast. Don't boast that way because you've never yet pulled the sword and you've never yet won the battle. He said, don't boast as one that's already won the battle that's put the sword up. See, just wait to see what's ahead. And then we'll find out about you. The day will try your works. And every man shall be tried, not with his little old puny trials that he thinks about because he had a little problem, but he shall be tried as if by fire. And then when the fire comes, it's going to determine what he's got as to the goods and whether or not he's making believe. And then when he goes through the fire, if his works stand and not burn, then he will have a reward. So even if he himself is saved, Zephaphah, he'll still suffer loss. And all the great empire that he's looking for, he'll find out that it didn't work. Folks, remember, God will help you. If you've got something to do, he'll help you. He's helped me all through the years. And he will help you. And he'll help you to establish your vision and do what you want to do. But God don't play games, and you can't run around at the man of the hour. God is not looking for a man of the hour. Somebody said, glory to God, what we need is a man of the hour. No, hallelujah, what we need is Jesus Christ. He is the man of the hour. He is the answer to all of the situations. It is Christ, and what you need to do is pick Christ up in your heart and project him and let him project you. See, somebody says, I am waiting on the Lord, but that's where you make a mistake. The Bible teaches he is waiting on you, and you're supposed to be doing it. You're supposed to be doing it. Somebody says, now there you are right there. I know I'm the commander. I'm the one that does it. No, you're vainly puffed up by your fleshly mind, full of self-will and conceit, of the zeal of your house is eating him up. See, when you say, I am going to wait on the Lord, or I'm going to do the job and God is waiting on me, the first thing you need to do is humble your heart, realize that you're nothing, that all flesh has corrupted its way before God, and that what you're supposed to be doing is denying self and getting out of the way until there's nothing else of you left at all. And then when you do, you're doing the job. When you start out to do the job, the first job you want to do is kill self and get self out of the way and not be a lover of self with self-confidence and with prestige and pride as to your face and as to your talents and your ability. Kill it out. Walk on the head of that old serpent, that old intellect. Somebody says, oh no, Brother Pine, that's not me. Oh yes, it's you. All flesh has corrupted its way, and all flesh had been put on its belly, and its belly craves whatever goes into it. It craves it. And God has you on the belly, and all of your labor is for your belly and your mouth. So then that means in your first birth, you are of the beast. You came through the beast. That's what you are. You are a beast. And scientists prove that. And your intellectual mind is infiltrated with that of the fall from Adam, and you need to kill it. And when it's killed out by Christ through Calvary, it's just not a matter of Christ killing it out and you coming to the place to where you say, well, Brother Pike, I have been killed by Calvary and I am a new creature. It's not like that at all. It means you was killed at Calvary, and now it's up to you to take the Spirit of Christ on the inside and walk on the head of that thing called self and deny that body and put it to the test and take it by the whipping post and put it through the fire and put it down, down, down until there's no more remembrance of you. And when you get every thought into subjection, then you can say, I'm dead, but the body of the Lord Jesus is not me living, but Christ that liveth within me, and the life I now live, I live by the Son of God in my flesh. So then we get the cart ahead of the horse. We get things misconstrued, and we find out that we don't do what we are supposed to do. Look around us. All these things that I'm speaking of, it is a curse. All of this bad weather is a curse. All of the sickness is a curse. All these things are a curse. There's no blessing in disguise. It is a true fact that as the results of these things, as to afflictions or whatever, we are made better a lot of times. David said, my wounds stink because of my foolishness, but it was good that I was afflicted, for I learned to fear God. I learned to keep his commandments. So in these things, it brings us to a suffering, or it is a suffering to bring us to the knowledge of God. So then God does use it, and it is a form of chastisement. I know there's people that say, Brother Pike, God doesn't chastise like that. Well, now you're so brilliant, you tell me how God does chastise. Somebody's so brilliant, they publish this and they say that, and they contest what you say about it when you say it is the form of chastisement. So they say, oh no, God never chastises like that. Well, then how does God chastise? Have you ever stopped to think about it? You tell me how he chastises. We got open house here. I challenge you, there's not a man or woman sitting here that can tell me. You know why? There isn't anything to say. If that isn't the way, there isn't anything else to say. So somebody says, well, you mean that God breaks my neck and he's chastising me? No, God has nothing to do with your sickness. God has nothing to do with the storm. God has nothing to do with your poverty. You do that. But the chastisement part is one thing, and that is God doth withdraw from you when you allow iniquity to come in, because he cannot look on iniquity, and it's a breach in your faith. And when you let the faith down, then you lose your shield and Satan comes in on you, and that's your chastisement, God withdrawing. And the results of that is afflictions and heartaches and poverty, and all of these things come upon you. And it's only when you get your faith back up that God can come in and give you a helping hand. So then these things do serve to the benefit of God. God does have his way in all things and work all things after the counsel of his own will. And sickness, sorrow, heartaches, all of these turbulence cannot come lest God has sent them. Evil cannot come to a city lest I've sent it, saith the Lord. So then we realize that these things are used of God. When we understand these things, it makes us better Christians, and we know how to deal with it better. We know how to preach better. We know how to advise people better. We know how to help people better. If you don't understand these things, how can you pray for somebody? Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, I don't know. When I go to pray for somebody, I'm not too sure, you know, whether they are eligible for this blessing. I don't know whether they're living right or not. I don't know. This thing could be of God, and God's made it like that, and God's trying to kill them because he don't want them anymore. So I just don't know. Well, who do you pray for? How do you pray? If you feel that way, how are you going to pray? God said, lay in the altars all night long, ye ministers, and howl for those things that's coming on my people. Why did he tell me to do that and you to do that? If God is a respected person and he's trying to weed out who should be and who should not be, this is not the day of weeding out. This is the day when the grace of God is poured out upon all people. And the blessings of God are upon all people. And the Spirit of God is upon the tare and the wheat. And this is the day when everybody can have healing and everybody can have blessing and everybody can be in heaven. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let all the earth praise God. Let all the earth rejoice because Jesus reigneth. From Calvary he reigneth. Let everybody rejoice because he's made it so that through grace they can rejoice. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So then when we look at this, we realize that we pray for people. Whoever comes, that's what we pray for. Somebody would say, well, I just feel there's certain people that don't have any part in this. Well, then how did Judas get a part in it? Could anybody be worse than Judas? The Bible said it'd been better if that man had never been born into the world because of the punishment he was going to receive. But the Bible also says he obtained part of that ministry. By the blood of Jesus Christ, by the blessings of Jesus Christ. Someone would say, Brother Pike, it couldn't have been the blood now. I'm a Bible scholar and Jesus was still alive at that time. I know, I understand that. But the Bible said he was the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. It was the blood that allowed Judas to continue on till he received the sign and the foreknowledge of God. So then when we understand these things, it makes us a better person to counsel with others and to help the faith of others and establish people on the Word of God and not on theory and some of our ideology and some of our feelings. Somebody says, Brother Pike, I'm cataloging every bit of this because I want to be a good minister. I want to do this. You know you're lying. You know you're lying. It's not your intentions at all. You are cataloging this. You do want this. You're listening very reverently and you're deceiving yourself, telling yourself that that's what you want to do when you're just as self-willed as you can be and you have one plan, and that's to get to your program like you've always had. Somebody say hallelujah. This is the truth. So you need to get born again. You need to die out to self and get born again and get that ambition out of you and settle down and realize that you ain't nothing and that you are just like all the rest with the poison of asp under your lips, and your tongue is full of deceit and your heart is deceitful above all things that even you don't know it. And when you get God in there, really get God in there, He'll help you to do a work for Him, and He'll make you a new creature, and after a while you'll be doing something for the Savior. So then in these little exhortations as we come together, especially in camp meeting, we see these things and then we look around. Look at the turbulence. We were speaking of Macon, Georgia, and of course to go into these things we'd have to go into Revelation. Or all the things of God are revelation, they're revealed, but to go into these things is to a present day revelation. Look at Macon. Look at the terrible turbulence. I had a cousin that came up the other day. Somebody mentioned something about Macon, and she said I'm not sure as to all of the terminology she used, but she said it is the capital city of wickedness. So this is the way they look at Macon. Atlanta is leading in crime. Seeing a capital, of course, was one time in Macon. She's got a nursery there. She said, I'm selling out. I'm getting out of that place. She's scared to stay there. Now, already the big bridge there in Macon, Georgia, if it's the one I'm thinking about, and they say that it is, an old establishment that's been there for many years is fixing to go out. The bridge, the river's rising. Crest out at 29, I believe that was the record. And now they say it's cresting out at 40. Now, that's almost double. And rain is still falling. And they're still due for numbers of inches of rain unless something happens. Why is this happening? Even like my Cindy, she came to the mother and she said, Mom, said, we've been talking this over at my house. Said, this ain't never happened before. Said, we've never known anything like this to happen before. Others are doing the same thing. Telephone calls are coming in, even out of state. Whatever. What's the matter? What's the matter? It's just been that way over in Missouri. It's been that way over in Arkansas and other places. As a matter of fact, somebody here, I believe little Junior Armstrong, was just having a night vision or dream or something where 6 tornadoes, I believe he said, in what he saw hit Arkansas. And it was Jesse that's with us today. Jesse was telling me some things that, well, he was telling me really how God had blessed Humboldt. But Brother Bullard came in and was telling me some things and was telling me how that he had never seen a tornado hit Memphis the way that this tornado hit, and he was in it during the time that this thing set in over there. And said, I never seen it hit Mississippi like this, as to a 75-mile long cyclone or whatever it was, storm. See, what is this? What is happening? Somebody said, well, nobody knows. That's where you're wrong. That's exactly what I was saying. Somebody does know. All of us should know, but somebody does know. Somebody says, well, why don't you tell us? That's what I'm trying to tell you. I can't. I wished I could. I wished you had the time. I wished you had the ear to hear. I wish we had the time. I wished I could. There's nothing I'd like better than to got many hundreds and thousands of things on tape for the people. But God has condensed it. He's kept it right here just to the fragmentals and of them that are without and them just getting fragmentals. Then, what do we understand of it? If we know, how much of it do we know? We know exactly from the beginning to the end. Know exactly the trail of what's happening, why it's happening, and whatever. Oh, no, somebody says, I know. I told you when Brother Taylor said what he said. I know that you can't conceive of it. That's why I can't tell you. You can't, because this comes by faith. This comes by faith, and you are in that kind of condition. Still, in your natural, intellectual, carnal mind that's enmity with God, and God is the Word, and when God goes to speak, and that it's not us, then it's enmity. And when the Word comes forth, then it turns aside, because there's no lodging ground. He had no place in the inn. So this is exactly what it is, and the zeal of thine house is your own ambition. What you want to do has eaten you up. But it's a late hour, I'll tell you that. I could say just tonight, just say a few things tonight, and it would startle you. If you stop and really absorb it, it would startle you. Because in your mind you would say, oh my God, listen to that. You know, that does prove that it's right now. And this thing that he's saying is happening right now. And I remember him saying something about this before. And I don't see that. I don't see how that could be. But it is. But it is. So then we just go along with a little exhortation and trying to do what little we can to encourage your faith and to remind you that if you are a Christian, though you may not have the revelation, if you are a Christian, then pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. And when you come together, have a revelation, have a doctrine. See, learn to absorb that. Learn to come to church that you might hear and not just come to church as another church night doing the camp meeting and setting just a little bit to pacify your flesh to where you can feel something or hear a little something and go away until next time and come back one more time. So then we looked down in Macon, Georgia, and there, if we had time to go into it, we could bring out some revelation concerning why the detriment is in Macon. Why that the problem is like it is, even having them cut off in Florida to where some of them in Florida couldn't get back, and even in Macon where they couldn't get back because Highway 78 was cut off. The bridge about to go out, that's been an age-old landmark in Upson County. They just redone a bridge down there of a covered bridge and a remodeled a thing, a done repairs or whatever it was. And all of a sudden, the way it went, the bridge, the covering, everything else. And what great meaning that had over 100 years on. What great meaning that had. For the earth is full of the knowledge of God, and the heavens declare his handiwork. And we are without excuse, because Enoch, though he did not have the scriptures, because they'd never started scribing yet, and they'd never scribbled anything at his time, but the heavens declared the handiwork to the extent that Enoch found the understanding of God in the heavens and was translated by faith that he should not see death. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I want to feel the presence of God. I want to be healed, Brother Pike. That's great. So does every devil. They'd love to feel the presence of God and love to be healed. And the Spirit is poured out upon the tare and the wheat, the sunshine and the rain on both. But the Bible said, grow in the knowledge of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word, and the word is the knowledge of God. And this is the one thing that you don't do, that you don't care to do, that you're not trying to do, though you're trying to be pious and coming to church and trying to sit there as though you are listening and though you want to do this, and yet you don't have a desire to do this, you don't have a hunger to do this, you don't have a thirst to do this, because you've got the love of the world in you, and you still rather eat and drink and ride and laugh and talk and go and be free to do what you want to do and not sit still at any time to listen to anything, to deny the flesh and to make it sit down and listen and come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the truth. That's where the problem is. That's why that when I saw you in the vision, I saw everyone in the church asleep. It's that midnight cry. It's that midnight hour. But God does have people on the wall. There are watchmen on the wall, and he will require the blood of the people at their hand. And he said to the prophet, I have set thee upon thy watch. When I demand of thee, I want an answer. And he said, don't let the enemy come on the people while they're asleep. Sound the alarm. Warn them. He said to the prophet, go tell them. They're not going to listen at you. But you still must warn them, or I'll require their blood. And when you tell them, they're not going to listen at you. But you warned them anyway. So he said, and when you go to preach to them, they're going to stare back at you until if you look at their faces, you'll be confounded. But he said, don't worry. I'll make your face as hard as an adamant stone, and they won't be able to get past your gaze. I'll be with you. I'll set you as a stone, a stumbling stone of offense in Zion, that they can believe on it. Or if they don't do that, then if they refuse to fall on the stone and be broken, I'll let the stone fall on them and grind them to powder. So then it's the mighty God. It's the mighty God talking. It's the mighty God declaring this. I remind you of what I did the last service. You men that think you're preachers and say that you've got such a great ministry and you've got to tell people all these things, that's fine. I have no objection to it. I've never tried to stand in the way of ministers. I've tried to aid them. But you regard one thing. Paul said, let you understand these that think themselves to be spiritual. He had some in his day that thought the same way. He said, you that think yourself to be spiritual, you acknowledge one thing. These things that I write unto you are the commandments of God. It's not a request of God. It's the commandments of God. Somebody said, well, I'm going to do what I want to. I know you are. And if you don't tell me, you're still going to do it because you don't belong to this body. But see, it's still my job to tell you, though I know that you are a spot and a wrinkle and a blemish, and I know you're here to spout our liberties just to get what you can for your personal ambition and to run with it and to cause me problems at the different places where you go. I know that. And though you'll try to affiliate with us, just like I've said before, but soon that branch that you admire the fruit on will be cut off. Because it is not the branch that beareth the tree, but the tree that beareth the branch. And though your fruits are pretty, it's not because of your branch and your ability. It's because of the tree. And the root is in the tree. And the root is in the ground. And the sap is in the tree. And Jesus said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. And as long as you abide in the vine, you'll bring forth much fruit. But if you're cut off, then you'll wither up and men will gather you and throw you into the fire. You won't know that you're withering up and you won't know that you're not bringing forth the fruits because you'll be exuberant and you'll be full speed ahead and you'll be doing your thing and setting up your empire and whatever, but the Lord will be sawing your limb off all the time. All the time. So, when I say these things, I know all of this. And I know that men will rise up among us, Paul said, and lead men astray after them. I know that because I've had them here. Numbers of them that came here for that purpose. All of them fell into the same place. All of them that left to do their own thing has fell into the same identical trap. And you're no different. And you will find out too late, even as they did. They felt they were different. One would come and fall into it, and the other would think they were different, but all fell into the same trap. So then when I say these things to you, it is because I love you, because if I didn't love you, I wouldn't say these things to you. I'd just get up here, I'd clap my hand, we'd sing, we'd keep the organ going, we'd keep plenty of singing, we have everything just rolling, you're shouting, and I'd say, this is the great time of God, you got 50, God showed me you got 100, like somebody told me the other day, the man went out right in the audience and said, Lord, said you got a $100 bill, put it right here. You know, and this kind of thing, I've been down that trail. So that's what we would do, and we'd never offend you, and especially if you was a good producer of our cause. So then I tell you the truth because I love you, and you're still going to do what you want to do because you cannot receive anything save it be given you of God. You can't do anything else. It doesn't matter. You can't do it. Somebody said, you mean I can't do it? You can't do it. You're born for that purpose. As many as were ordained unto eternal life believed, and the ones that were not did not believe. And somebody said, but I believe. I know you believe to the extent to do your own thing. But to believe, to do what I'm telling you to do, and let this thing have its way in your heart, to be born to the Word and be born to the Spirit, to conform and to yield up yourself to Calvary, you'll never do it. So then this means that these little things that I'm telling you tonight requires faith. To have faith in the Word. Acknowledge the Word. Faith in God. And don't get tense and think, Brother Pike is kind of simmering down and maybe we're going to close now. And I hope you don't flare back up and start again because we'll get out early because I'm going to let you out early. If I can let you out early, I'll let you out early. And if you keep wanting to get out early, I'll try to make it more early and more early and more earlier. And even to the time we just come here and say, folks, stand up and let's pray and be dismissed. Oh, you say you wouldn't do that. Oh, yes, I would. I've told you this before and I repeat it tonight. I was over in a place in Louisiana and I was preaching and the man done what he wanted to and the pastor done what he wanted to. And I asked him not to do that, but he did it anyway. I said, well, I'd rather you wouldn't do that. So he done what he wanted to and when time come to preach, I got up and I told the people and I can't remember exact words, but I had him to stand and dismissed and said, gave him my blessings and went my way, and the man was literally dumbfounded. So it wasn't long before somebody come up from New Orleans and they wanted me there to preach. And he said, "Now see here, Brother Pike, don't you do me like you did that other pastor." Oh, I said, "I wouldn't do it for nothing." I said, "If you don't do me like the pastor done me." So we went down to his place in New Orleans. He did me exactly the way that the other pastor done. I did him exactly the way that I did the other pastor. And he was dumbfounded too. See, so if you don't want God, like in the land of the Gadarenes, they said, "Get out of our coast." Though he'd done many wonderful things for them, he departed from their coast. He didn't bother them. So then we've got to entreat God. We've got to love God. We've got to want God. And God is the Word. And anything you have, from singing to clapping your hand to rejoicing or whatever, that is not God. God is the Word. And when you get to where you don't want the Word, He will go His way. And He'll let you sing on and clap your hands on, have good service, and preaches a priest to you. And you can get out early and get in your bathing suits in time to get to the beach. As a matter of fact, I've told you how that I know some of them that said it was too much trouble for the saints to come to the church. They set up a little sacred desk on the beach and said, "Come in your bathing suits." And of course, I saw that they did that and said, "You can be ready to swim when I get through with our little short sermonette." And he had his bathing suit too. All right, so I'm just trying to tell you something, folks. It might help you and make you understand that that's where the world is today. And this turbulence that you see, all of these things, we could tell you from the bottom of my soul. Somebody says, "There you go, you can tell us." Yes, glory to God, I can tell you. And I could tell you what's happening, why it's happening, and tell you what this camp meeting has to do with. Every spot of ground that we got, exactly what it has to do with, every bit of it, and how timely it is, and oh, how magnificent it is. But if we don't have time, we just don't have time, do we? I want you to stand with me. I'm going to ask them to come back to their instruments. A little exhortation tonight. I think I'm letting you go pretty early here. Unless something intervenes, then you'll have plenty of time to do whatever you want to do. There was going to have some fireworks tonight across the way over there. I think they counseled out on it. Somebody said, "Well, Brother Pike, I know that you're down on the fireworks." I ain't down on nothing. Whatever you want to do, that's your business. I don't know where people get that. They say, "Well, you told me." Oh, no, I didn't tell you. You usually listen to somebody else. I didn't tell you that at all. As a matter of fact, to the contrary, I said that God has His way in everything, in the natural and whatever. And those fireworks have great significance as to an independency. See, somebody said, "Well, then you favor the fireworks." I didn't say I favored any fireworks. I'm not preaching fireworks. And I'm not preaching against fireworks. There's going to be a lot of fireworks. God's going to bring some fireworks. How many of you know that? He's doing some things. What you need to do is get out of your human reasoning and quit trying to figure Brother Pike out and try to find out God's will. And like I was talking the other day, I remember David Paul talking to me, and he said, "Daddy, I want to please you. I want to do exactly what you want." And he really meant that from his heart. And that's exactly what he's trying to do. And a lot of things that you don't understand that he's doing. But nevertheless, I said, "David, one way to please me in holiness, as long as you keep everything in line with holiness, I am well pleased. If you get out of the line of holiness, then you don't please me." So that's the way it is with you folks. If I get out of line with holiness, I don't please God. If you get out of line, then you don't please me, because I want to be in line with holiness. And this is the way it is. And if you can receive it, then receive it. The Bible teaches that no man can receive anything save it be given him of God. The better thing to do, the Bible said, don't judge anything before the time. And that's where you're in problems. You've set yourself up as somebody that knows to judge instead of somebody that knows from God to revelate and help folks' faith. We're helpers of your faith, and you have one judge, one Lord, even Christ. Paul said, "The word that I speak, the same shall judge in the last days." And I know the saints shall judge the world, but the saints will be the Word. And when they become the Word, then they will judge. And according to the Word of the mind of Christ, you can judge righteous judgment. Because no man can judge you. You are beyond judgment. You cannot be judged. You're the judges of the earth. You're perfected forever. So there's nothing that can judge you. No man can lay anything to your charge. hath perfected you forever. So don't set yourself up as a judge. Be an example and judge this rather, Paul said, that you don't cast a stumbling block in the way of your brother by gossiping, backbiting, saying things, talking or going places you ought not, or doing things that you ought not to do. See, and in this, you'll find out that God will help you and God will be with you. Otherwise, don't judge anything until the time. There's a reason for all things. There's a time and season. Solomon said there's a time to plant, there's a time to pluck up. The Bible said every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted should be plucked up. There's a time to mourn and there's a time to stop your mourning. And there is a time for everything under the sun. God ordained that. So then consider that and let the heavens declare his handiwork and let the earth inform you of knowledge. For even nature doth teach us. And when we come to the mind of Christ, listening and carefully observing as Solomon, you'll find out that even nature itself will unveil itself to you, and you'll see the beautiful mind of God that brought that particular thing to be, and that it would not be existent if it wasn't for that measure of the mind of God that is in that particular thing, and that that particular thing is the projecting of the measure of the mind of God according to its purpose in the earth. Let's sing a little chorus together. When we sing, it's camp meeting time. We're here not to shout and to praise God. We're here to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. But we do come into the courts and we thank God and we praise God. But we don't want the cart ahead of the horse. We don't want to come to church and say hallelujah, build this church on singing and clapping our hands and praising the Lord. We just had one to fall over in state nearby because it was built on singing and all these kind of things and not on the word. And we don't want to do that. We want to found on the word. And when we come together, we don't come together to shout and hallelujah and sing and to preach and to run around with the mic, which that's all right. I've done it many times, and screaming and whatever. We come to grow in the knowledge of the word, whether we scream it or whether we just tell it as Jesus did when he stood before you, before the people. So then, that's fine. We should shout. We should clap our hand. We should praise the Lord, speak in tongues, prophesy. All these wonderful gifts is in the church. Have prayer for the sick. All these wonderful things. We should do that. But we should also pray at home. Show piety at home. Learn how to conduct ourselves in the house of a living God. And we should shout and praise God, because we heard the word and we grew in the word and we're grateful to God for the word, for now we have his grace. So we're shouting and praising God because the word of the Lord came unto them. As the Bible said, the word of the Lord came unto the prophets and they took it to the people and the people rejoiced because the prophet brought them the word. And then we can sing and shout because we have something to sing and shout about. But when we sing and shout and clap our hands and want to feel the Lord and go away, we are like an empty vessel. We do not have God. It's only the rain upon the unjust. And though it was God in the rain, you didn't get a thing. And the old saying again comes about, water, water everywhere and not a drop to drink. So let's sing together tonight, can we? Let's sing I Love Him. Can we sing I Love Him? The altars are always open. When we go to sing these little courses, we sing them so that we can worship the Lord together for a few minutes. Gather around the altar because a lot of times there's somebody that wants to come to God. And I know, you know, maybe you feel, well, this is routine. It is routine, and there's nothing wrong with routine. Somebody would say, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? There's nothing wrong with routine, because the Bible said it was Jesus' custom as a routine to go to church every Sabbath and to be in the sanctuary every Sabbath. So then it's God's custom. If we have a custom to come to the altar, that's fine. But I don't bring you to the altar as a custom. I bring you to the altar because many times there's somebody in the service that will not come, and they're too weak until they see you come, and then you become a leader and they wax bold and they feel like they can just get lost in the shuffle and go down and nobody will notice them. Otherwise, they'll feel so embarrassed, and you become a leader. And even though I know that you're not prayed up and you're not really seeking God like you ought to, yet we at least get this much done. And someone would say, Brother Pike, why do you say that? Because it's true. Otherwise, I shouldn't say that. Because the saints of old, as we say, when they come to the altar and they prayed. Prayed? Someone would say, prayed? Well, we've knelt at the altar. I know that. But they didn't just kneel at the altar. Sometimes they prayed all night long. And sometimes they prayed half of the night. And sometimes they prayed and prayed because there was one or two down there that wanted salvation. And they prayed until they were perspiring and wore out. They wasn't worried about their job tomorrow or whether their dress didn't look right. It was salt, or the clothing that they had was kind of wrinkled, or their face was all smudged up. You know, they were down there calling on God, and they were building their faith in God and helping somebody pray through to a real experience, instead of standing before the preacher saying, I believe, I do confess thee, O Lord, and then let's go to supper or the bulldog game. See, it wasn't like that with them. It was saints of God that was rooted and grounded that you couldn't move. They were trees that stood in the time of the contrary winds of doctrine, and you couldn't root them up. And so I know that you're not prayed up because you don't do that. And I know that the bowels of compassion of the saints of God is about close, because the day is far spent and the time is nigh upon us. The night is here, and the harvest is about over, and the winter time has come. All right, so I'm looking in this direction. Isn't that wonderful, brother? Somebody say hallelujah. Don't continue to do it. So I guess you'll just have to quit it one day as to what you're doing. So then we thank God. I've got people on this side of the church, believe it or not, just like I have on this side. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. At least I don't get that repercussion out of my audience. Thank God for that much anyway. So then we're here tonight to try to tell you about Jesus. And we're trying to get God into your heart. And if your heart was in God, it wouldn't have any problems out of you. But if you're not in God, then that means you're carnally minded. And your carnal mind is still at enmity with God. And it still pesters me. And it still cuts across Christ. Always at the altar. Isn't that strange how it always happens at the altar? At the altar call. Don't do it otherwise, though I feel it. But that isn't the time. It's always at the altar call. All right, so we're going to sing this little song, I Love You, can we? I love you. I love you. Lord, because that you first loved me. And you purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. I love him. Isn't it wonderful how the Word of God will bring out what's in a person and cause them to stand back and rebel, and it makes you to know that you hit your target just right. I used to have a song, Coming In on a Wing and a Prayer. What a show, what a fight. See, we really hit our target for tonight. So then it makes you know that what you said was true, and it all shows up, but it'll come out in the wash. Let's give him a hand. By the washing of the waters of regeneration, and ye are clean by the word that I've spoken unto you. Saints of God, whether female or male, whether man or woman, love the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Somebody said, well, I think you look in the direction of the female too much. Well, just keep watching. Hallelujah.
Just keep watching me. All right. Somebody said, do you have to say those things? I must have to say them. I keep saying. All right. So then in Christ is neither male nor female. And if you'll get that out of your mind, you won't mind me looking in that direction. You look in that direction all day long. Isn't that a shame? And females look in the male direction all day long. But when we go to talk about God, Satan forbids, doesn't he? He don't want you to do that, does he? Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. It's like an old mossy-backed hypocrite or an old turtle that's laying in the pond to get your bait. That's all it is. Lift your hands up and close your eyes, you musicians. Can you do that? That way you won't see a thing. Folks, lift up your hands and close your eyes, and everything will be all right. Now, let's sing a song together. Let's sing this little chorus, Sweep Over My Soul. Everybody's eyes closed. Everybody's hands lifted up. Somebody said, well, I don't have to. I realize that. And if you don't want to, that's fine. But hear that are my sheep and hear my voice. I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. And in me, there's neither male nor female. So you don't have to worry about your female. I'm the one that gave the female to you. I'm the one that gave the male to you. So we won't be bothering about that. Oh, somebody says, you speak as the mouthpiece of God. Didn't he say, do all things as unto the Lord? It's not the man speaking, but God. If you come here to hear me speak, you should have stayed away tonight. And if you come here to hear God speak, then who did you expect to be speaking? Can anybody say amen? Why are you so suspicious of God? Oh, somebody says, I'm not like that. But the Bible said, if you do it to them, you do it to me. Isn't that right? Get your carnal mind out of the way and it won't be imitated to God. And everything will be all right. So tonight, let's sing this song. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Precious Savior. Sweep over. Have you got your eyes closed? You won't see anything if you can't close your eyes. For my rest, it is complete. Somebody said, well, I got my eyes open. I want to see if you close your eyes. Well, I ain't got my eyes closed. See, I told you so you can still close your eyes and know that I ain't got my eyes closed. Isn't that wonderful? Now you know. All right. Far I've anchored. Now I've got my eyes closed. In the haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Oh, I need you, Lord. How I need you. Every hour I need you. And I need you now, precious Savior. And oh, how I need you. So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away. thought he had come back to your heart once again. So let Jesus in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear his loving voice, and oh, turn him away. Come into my heart, oh, come in to my heart, just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus, just come in today, and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
While you're standing here, your hands lifted up and your eyes closed, have you asked the Lord to come into your heart? Have you asked God to heal you? Have you asked God to save you? Have you asked God to lift the curse? Should I then believe against sickness, Brother Pike? Or should I believe that maybe God is chastening me and God is trying to straighten me out? It is good that if you are sick, and if you're not, you will be. You'll have a chance. You'll have your chance. It's not like you live so good that you got so much faith. It isn't going to happen to you. The Bible said all flesh is corrupted. It's way before God. And if you don't think that you're in the flesh, pinch yourself and you'll find out that you are, and that it's the same old corruptible thing, and that you're still on your belly, and all your labor is for your belly because you eat it all up as quick as you get it. See, and so don't think of yourself. Think of Christ. And everything will be all right. So you that are born again, that's not in the flesh, you'll understand, because you're in the Spirit. And you know the body hasn't been changed yet, but it is the purchased possession. And you listen, and you won't be contrary. You'll do what your shepherd says. And shepherds are to take the flock, to present them to God, for he must present you to God. Someone says, but Brother Pike, I am not a sheep. I am a shepherd. You might be so in your mind, but to God, you're just a little sheep. That's all. And you'll have to have somebody to present you there too. And even the great mighty Paul saluted his workers, and he said, in them that were in Christ before me, and those that helped bring him to Christ. So then, you too must have a leader. And if you are a shepherd, then you need a leader more than ever before, because you're sure to be lost if you don't have somebody to lead you. Because if anybody needs leaders, it's shepherds. So when the chief shepherd appears, he'll take care of all the problems. And until he does, there's somebody that you are under. And you're under ranks and the auspices of God and the leadership of the brethren. And there are ranks and people that have a greater measure than you do. And you will look to God through them, or you won't be going. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, I'll get it for myself. Then
If you are a shepherd and you feel you can get it for yourself and you don't need a shepherd, then that proves you're having strong delusions and believing a lie to be damned, and you forfeited your right as a shepherd. Because if we don't need shepherds to get it, what are you running around trying to shepherd sheep for? You must be looking for a handout and a place to stay and some kind of security. If you believed that you got to go through the shepherd, then I could believe that you was a shepherd and that maybe you were trying to do something for the sheep. But since you don't believe that you have to go through shepherds, then that means you couldn't possibly be a shepherd. You must be after what the sheep have. So when you considered all, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the Bible says, how can you hear without the shepherd? How can you hear without the preacher? And faith that cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, how can they preach lest God has sent them? And he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And God's word says that you need a shepherd. Folks, do you need a shepherd? Do you have a shepherd? If you don't, you need to seek a shepherd. And somebody said, but who are you talking to, Brother Pike? He said, it's not me speaking, but God speaking to through me. And God is in his temple. And let all the world keep silent. I set thee over the nations, not over a church at Bethlehem, to pluck up and to plant. And he says, what I say to one, I say to all. So I'm talking to you tonight. Knowledge, the things that I say unto you are the commandments of God. If you're outside of that, then you're not one with me, nor God, nor the chief shepherd. You are of Lucifer, and you'll do your own carnal thing with your own carnal mind that's contrary to God and to the brethren. And always be a thorn in my flesh if I spare you. The Bible said, don't spare any of them. Otherwise, you'll blend right in and you'll be happy and full of the glory of God. Now, I feel some of you here, even as shepherds, blending right in with me. I feel some here there is among us that is not blending in with me. Though all I say, though you act pious, your spirit is not one with me. You've not gotten into the Spirit. You don't have the Spirit of God. You're just full of ambition. And all you're going to do is crash up. I tell you this over and over so that you that love the Lord and you that are here as brethren, that you won't be left, be led astray. And you that are sisters, that you won't be led astray. Because when these men move, you will follow them. Some of you will follow them. Already they are pulling for different ones. When they go away, they pull for different ones. They don't know that I know it, but they're trying to pull different ones in their direction. And they're getting different ones' attention because those different ones walk with them, and two can't walk together lest they be agreed. And the ones they're pulling, I happen to know for sure that they're lost and undone without God, and that they're pulling them over there because they're already following strong delusions, and they're all going together so that they can be bundled as tares to be put into the fire. All right. And if you'll check up on the other ones that came by to pull them away, you'll find that they went into a bundle, and you'll find out that they went into problems, and you'll find out they're dead or either dying or something bad's happening. So then you can die in the cause of God is to give your life without reservation, or you can die in the problems of going on and doing things that you don't have any business doing. Remember where the Bible said some was nigh to death because they did not spare their bodies for the sake of Christ, and some dwelt in caves and dens and done without. And as Jacob said, my years have not obtained unto that of my father as to long life, because he was in the cold by night. And as Solomon said when he looked at Jesus, Jacob being a type thereof, and the drops of the morning was in his locks. So then you can spare your life for the world. You can spare it for God. You can give it to the world. You can give it for God. So you that are my sheep, hear my voice, and you are my little sheep, and you love the Lord, and the Lord loves you, and I'm your brother, and I love you, and I'm a helper of your feet. And I'm here tonight to tell you that you do have the Lord, and you do love the Lord. I know they get up here and they say, bless God, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead. I hear them say this all the time. I hear preachers get up and they say, you bunch of deadheads. Well, we don't have a bunch of deadheads here, and we don't have a bunch of dead people, and we don't have a funeral home here, and we're not preaching to dead folks. If we did, we'd resurrect them from the dead. Sometimes I make reference to that so that to let you know that you are the children of the resurrection, and you're very much alive. And we love you, and God loves you. And because you're not going into what I'd like for you to go into, don't mean you're dead. You're much alive, and you are the children of the resurrection. You love the Lord? All right, let's lift our hands up. We're not going to try to hold you here, keep you and tire you out. Some of you have to go to work. Some of you have things that you have to do. And if you're not going on a job to work, I know for sure that you are working around here doing things on this side of the Highway 78 and on the other side. So you work with me and you work with my little ones especially. I had little Casey to come today. He come into the house and he come over to where I was in the living room, and I'd listening at Gracie and Cynthia as they were singing and playing the guitar and piano. Playing the dove that Brother Finley brought back and redeemed from Olive Branch that Adam gave us. And there they sang. The tears filled my eyes and was running down my cheeks. I couldn't help but do it. And little Casey, he didn't know anything about it. And he come through the house and he was just full of jubilance. And he loved me. And he ran and he jumped up in my lap and began to hug on me. And he always, he'll say, I love you. And I can tell that it's real true love. And I thought about what Jesus said as the love, and this is the kingdom of God, or as the kingdom, the little children. And I thought how wonderful that is. And how, wouldn't it be wonderful if we love one another like that? And if we love the Lord like that. And you know, when we love one another, we do love the Lord like that. Because when you do it to the least of these, you do it to Christ. How many of you believe that's right? So then let's lift our hands and close our eyes tonight. And let's just call on the name of the Lord as we worship for just a few minutes. And if you don't have salvation, if you're not one with these brothers and these sisters that are so wonderful, come on down and get in while the waters trouble, while the angel is troubling the waters. They are the waters of God. And when the angel begins to come among them, they begin to move about. And while these waters are as the world holds trouble, and really not trouble as to the trouble of the world, but just moving about for you to step in to be made whole, now is the time. Now is the hour. Let's lift our hands up. Let's love the Lord tonight. If you've got a ministry, I'm for you. If you want to do right, I'm for you. If I can help you, I'll help you. But if you got this thing of the great man of the aisle, when you got to get your potion and your inheritance and run off, and you're looking to be what you know someday will be, because God is going to turn the whole thing around and God is just waiting for you, I've got news for you, and that is that you have missed the boat. And like Jonah said in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes, and Jonah said, I was in the belly of hell. And that's where you're headed. And after a while, you're going to find out that's where you are. And it's going to be a sad time. So then, if you want to get in and be part of this, you can. But all you have to do is get rid of your own thoughts. Every thought. And just let the Lord use you. And as the Bible said, the Spirit of God upon Samson, it began to move him. And the Spirit of Christ come upon Jesus, that body, and begin to move him. And great and mighty things begin to happen. David of old, the Spirit of the Lord come upon him, and he run through a troop and leaped over a wall. And Joshua said, Lord, don't send me up to battle, lest thy Spirit go before me, because it's not by power or might, the man said, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So then, let's just lift our hands up and love the Lord in all simplicity. Let the Spirit of the Lord fill you, for you are the temples of God, and God is in you. Remember that, God is in you. Somebody said, well, I just don't feel the Spirit of God. Forget about that. Don't be going around trying to feel the Spirit of God. That shows you're carnal. Go around loving the Lord and doing what you're supposed to do. God's in his temple. Then you'll feel that cup run over and you'll feel the Spirit of the Lord. Just because you could feel the Spirit of God, that don't mean you're a Christian. That don't mean you got God. Why are you going around trying to feel the Spirit of God? You're supposed to be a light. A light don't go around saying, I wish I could light up. I wish I could light up. It goes around
God, to show light to the needy, because it's already lit up. You're already the candle of the Lord, and you're already brightly shining. Just let the little light shine. Praise the Lord. Love the Lord. Submit your bodies to the way of God. Find something to do for God, and you'll find out that you'll shine. As Brother Taylor sings, I got this little light, and I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine all over Bethlehem. I'm going to let it shine. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, we need some little light shining around here. People are coming in and out. If you've got a ministry, home or abroad, then do what you can for God. Well, I done forgot my song was going to sing. I done got exuberant here. Let's just think of another one. While you've got your hands lifted up and your eyes closed, let's sing this little song that we sing so often. I will praise Him. Don't forget camp meeting service tomorrow. I want to welcome you to Bethlehem, the home of the soul. Trying to reach out in world evangelism around the world, taking the glad tidings of great joy, seeing that a Savior has risen from the dead, and He is with you and in you, and He hath a message for you, and He wants to use you. You are the members of His body. He wants to bless you with the desire of your heart and stir your faith, and it comes out of real humility. More grace to the humble. Don't think of who you are. Think of who He is. Don't think of what you're going to do. Think of what He's going to do as He uses you, as you submit to Him, as you cease to be and the outer man perishes, that the inner man might be renewed day by day, even the inner man, the second man, the Lord from heaven. I will praise my Lord. I will praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Brother Randall Bullard if he'll come up tonight. Brother Randall will come up tonight. I'm going to ask him to come and dismiss us. He's talking to Randall today about his life, dropping in a thought or two of what he has to do with in Revelation. Every person has a job. Every person has something to do. Every person is a great, mighty thing in the presence of God. We look and we say, oh no, oh no, this can't be. I'm the man of the hour. But a lot of times the man of the hour is the one that you didn't think was the man of the hour. And when you thought you was the man of the hour, He was the man of the hour. And He was the one that was watching, and He was the one that was looking. And though He might have had problems, God still had His eye on Him. And He'll make you sit down while He stands up. You ever thought about it like that? And sure enough, it works exactly that way. So tonight, as we stand here together, praising the Lord, let's just lift our hands and close our eyes as our Brother Randall comes. Can we sing together one more time as he comes? Everything.